Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A big thank you to our guest today. We had a really great conversation with Patrick Manley about kicking and special teams. It was really dope. And what I think is the beginning, there'll be the genesis of our Ask an Expert segment that we're going to try and keep developing and bring up interesting things. We had a fun conversation with Gordon Wittenmeyer, too. I had to put the Bears conversation on the back burner because there was Chris Bryant slander that needed to be addressed. And so tomorrow we'll have a conversation about the Bears making the playoffs. Is that good or bad? Let's think about it for a little while. I see Danny Parkins with the confused face right now.
Why would it be bad?
Well, the argument for it being bad, and this is not me saying it, this is just the argument. The argument for it being bad is that it will then reinforce some decisions that have been made and will allow them to not think clearly about some of the decisions that they made because the results ended up being good, and they will fool themselves into thinking, you know what? We got everything we need.
Those big decisions already have been made. And Mitch Trubisky's the biggest decision they can make, and that's already been made. He will be a part of the mix next year.
I have no problem with him being a part of the mix next year, but if you don't make the playoffs and he doesn't play as well over the last four games, perhaps the way that you go about bringing competition to him is different versus a team that makes it into the playoffs You guys are acting like this front office doesn't fool itself all the time.
Well, no, but I don't think that's it. If they make the playoffs, that means they will have won six in a row,
yes,
and seven of eight. So, and then get to 10 wins after winning 12 last year and hitting their Vegas over. Like, they would be justified in doing a lot of the same things, right? It's hard to win 10 games in the NFL. Like, now, obviously, if Mitch plays horribly and they win, then you got to evaluate that individually. But I don't think
won't. They'll say, well, we won with them twice. Why do we need to change anything?
I think they've seen enough. They've seen enough. Plus, they know the backup isn't going to be the guy who's had that job for 2 years.
You had the head coach of this team on Thursday talk about how special Mitch was. He's looking at it as this is the start of something, not this is where things are at.
Well,
I mean, but it still could be the start of something, right?
It's unlikely, but possible.
But it's becoming more possible than...
See?
I'm not going to turn. I think he's...
No,
he's,
but that's not... It's a different conversation, right? I mean... The Eagles gave Carson Wentz over $100 million. The Rams gave Goff over $100
million. Those look like they're going to be, at least in one case, a horrible contract. And in the other case, contract.
Right, but there's no reason. Like, nothing can happen between now and the end of the year where the Bears are going to make that mistake.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So, they don't need to. There's no reason to.
I don't have a lot of faith in them, in their ability to self-scout.
Yeah,
but
I know what you're saying.
10 wins and the playoffs is a good thing. Like,
it is.
Unless you want Ryan Pace fired. Ryan Pace fired.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, though. We know that's not going to happen.
Oh, but
it's more likely.
Oh, boy.
They don't make the playoffs than if they do make the playoffs.
But do you want Ryan Pace fired?
I don't think that he's very good at his job.
They lose out. He's still back.
Of course.
There's not a doubt in my mind he's back, at least for one more year.
But I would say he deserves to be back.
Well, if they win, for sure. There's no argument for firing him after two winning seasons where you go to the playoffs.
No, I'm saying...
But like, that being said, I don't think he's very good at his job.
So if it was your call, would you fire him?
Yes,
I would. You would. Okay. I would not. Mac, if it was your call, would you fire him?
I'd probably give him one more year, but I don't do it with a lot of faith in him to pick the next quarterback, but I probably... See, I'm committed to two more years of it, though, and you don't want to just keep, buying off contracts. That's no good because, there's a good chance you're buying out the coach of his last year following next season also. So I'd probably give them one more year.
That's why I think that they deserve... Like, the defense is good enough. I still think the coach is good enough. And if you fire the GM now, you're changing the coach, and then you become the Browns right. with instability.
What I would like to see the next time they make a change is do something that's out of the ordinary for the Bears, and that is a sweeping change where a coach doesn't inherit a general manager doesn't inherit a coach.
Exactly.
And they come in at the same time. The fear of that, though, is the people making the charge – people making those decisions are Virginia McCaskey, her Silver Spoon son, and their accountant, Ted Phillips. That's what keeps me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, you're not losing sleep over
no,
the Bears.
No, stuff. I'm not. But just that's what
metaphorically speaking.
Right. Thank you. That's what would scare me, that they're the ones who are going to make that decision. But I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt of one more year. Yeah, because of the defense.
Yeah, and I think
it's a good defense.
There's no risk in having Mitch on the roster at his current price. Right. And so if you're going to say they make the playoffs and Mitch plays poorly, then, yeah, I obviously would be campaigning for them to still bring in competition. But I don't think that
I think they should bring in competition no matter what.
They will. They will. They have to.
Yeah. But I just don't think that. I don't think that you
Where's
can make...
Where's your evidence?
You well, have to have two guys in
You guys
the
seem
room.
Really, really convinced that they will, even though there is a ton of evidence that they're not going to do that.
Don't underestimate their ability to be silly, huh?
See, I don't think there is a ton. I mean, like, I think that there was... We disagree on Chase Daniel, right? But I think that that's a small thing. Like, the amount of money they spent on him, how you handle your backup quarterback. A lot of teams do it, like the Bears do. A lot of teams do it the other way. Like... In terms of a higher upside guy, right? It often depends on how old your starter is.
Or a guy that you're paying to be a quarterback coach, but you're paying him a player salary to do it.
Right. Give him a hat, not a helmet.
I don't think that that's smart.
No, it isn't.
But I've heard you say, right, you want the backup to be able to win 50% of his games.
Sure.
Which is what Chase has done.
Sure.
Right, so he's doing the job of the backup quarterback by that definition.
He is doing the generic job of the backup. In this specific scenario, I don't think that he's great because of what they've asked him to do. What they're asking him to do is be there and hold Mitch's hand. And you don't have to give out, what is he making, $10 million? You don't have to give that to the guy that holds his hand,
right,
considering that there is a group of guys that are here to hold his hand, right, all the way up to the head coach. You don't need to pay a guy a player salary to do that. That's where I think that it is a failing as far as your quarterback room and the fact that your second and a half quarterback is not even someone that you're even thinking about developing. Like, it's not even a thought that Tyler Bray is a developmental quarterback.
Doesn't appear to be.
That to me is a waste of whether it's a roster spot or a practice squad spot, because it's another guy that's here to hold the one quarterback's hand because he understands the system that the coach brought in. To me, those are wasted assets.
Yeah, and I think that, like I said, I think reasonable minds can disagree on the Daniel component of it in terms of how much you want to be all in on the assets to maximize the biggest asset, which is the second overall pick. Like, I think reasonable minds can disagree on that. Going into next year, why I'm confident that they will bring in real competition or at least a higher upside person. Like, they might not frame it as competition, but a higher upside backup is because – if Mitch can't learn the system by then it's over. Like, there's no backup quarterback that can hold his hand to get to 201 or 30. It'd be too long in the system to reasonably expect that light switch to ever go on. But I just think if they actually are going to win these last four games, it's going to be virtually impossible for them to do it without Mitch Trubisky playing well. And I still am operating under the assumption. I don't know about that.
I mean, because at the end of the season, he didn't particularly play well, and they solidified their spot in the playoffs.
Last year?
Yeah, like he wasn't. Yeah,
they've won with him being pedestrian or bad before.
They won 12 games with him being pedestrian last year.
But these teams, this schedule, this December, how he's playing recently, Hicks, Trevathan, going against Rodgers, going against Mahomes. Like, I find it to be unlikely that they could actually win four more games with him being bad. It's possible, I suppose, but just I would say it's very unlikely. And I still, while I doubt that Mitch is going to be great ever, obviously, I still think that would be the best case scenario for the Bears, right? Like, best case scenario here is Mitch turns out to be very good.
Sure, because then you don't have to go into it. The only problem is the clock. The problem is that you kind of needed to know that at the end of last year or maybe even midway through this year, because you are going to, if you do think that he is the guy, then you kind of need to pay him like he's the guy. And you're running out of time as far as that's concerned. Like, the idea of winning with the cheap quarterback is coming to a close.
Yeah, that for sure.
So if you have to make a decision whether you're going to give him a long-term big money extension, you wanted to be more sure of that by now. Now, maybe this does work in their favor versus what the Rams did, where the Rams kind of jumped the gun on it. And now you see a quarterback that they're trying to win in spite of instead of because of.
They gave the Bears the blueprint on what not to do.
Well, and the team they're about to play. I mean, Dallas is in a spot where they're like, okay, we have to pay Dak because why exactly? Because it's just time?
Because he's the best there is for their team.
Right. Well, so but what they're talking about paying him is Russell Wilson money, and I don't think anyone thinks that if you removed the best offensive line and a top five running back and a top 10 receiver, and he's never had a 4,000-yard season or a 25-touchdown season. Like, Dak's never put up great offensive numbers. He will this year.
Yeah.
But that's another year later than Mitch is right now. So if you just go on,
but I think Dak has been.
Mitch had more touchdowns last year than Dak has ever had.
Has been better
overall.
He's more steady
for a longer time than Mitch has.
I think he has much better pocket presence. I think he makes better decisions. I would much rather have him running my offense.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Let's shift gears here for a second, and you're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Did we see the soon-to-be-crowned NFC champions win at home last night?
No.
No? You're not buying the Seahawks after that?
Their defense, to me, isn't good enough. Like
the Hawks?
I agree.
Russ is magic, man. Like, he's magic and he can make plays. And I really love their receiving core and their run game, honestly, with Russ being a part of both.
They forced turnovers, that defense. Remember, one of those touchdowns the Vikings scored defensively, too, on Wilson.
With pat back.
Yeah.
I take the Saints or the Niners over
them. Okay. All right. Yeah. If you got to go through Seattle, though, that's a tough-ass place to play.
It is. And
they beat a good team last night. The Vikings are not a great team. You've been wondering who's good in the NFL. It seems like there's really, really good and really bad.
The NFC especially is really top-heavy.
The Vikings are a good team, but they're not a great team.
That's how I feel about the Packers,
They don't
too.
Have that chaos-causing defensive lineman anymore. And Danielle Hunter's a good pass rusher. Not very stout against the run, and the Seahawks punched him in the face last night. I thought it was a fun game.
A really fun game.
Yeah, the outcome didn't work well for my pocketbook, but I enjoyed the game. I thought it was fun.
Oh, yeah, you were under last night,
right? I was under, and I cut half the law. I had Seattle, too, on a smaller play. So
I loved watching it. It was a lot of fun. They had the highlighter uniforms on. Last night, you watch Russ, you make his campaign pitch.
You're a Bobby Wagner guy.
I love Bobby Wagner.
Do you think he's a Hall of Fame player? Booger McFarland said he's potentially a Hall of Fame player.
I think that you can make the argument for a couple of years he was the best linebacker in the game.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd have to look. I've always liked him.
How many first-team All-Pros? One or two?
I don't know.
I'm just curious. Yeah. Because he's in the – obviously – Keekly and him overlap.
Part of, you know, a key part of one of the best defenses in NFL history.
Four first-team All-Pros. I knew it was two. I didn't know it was that many. Yeah, so that's four first-team All-Pros for Bobby Wagner.
And this will be
five
another
Pro
one.
Bowls and a Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
He's facing jail time, potentially.
Potentially.
He's a not, nominee, no, he's potentially. Fine. No, he is. Yes, he is a potential nominee.
That's a Hall of Fame start to a career. For Bobby Wagner, three straight first-team All-Pros and four total.
Pretty great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I like watching him. I like the Seattle thing to me is I think that they're a really good team, but I don't see them winning it. San Francisco is interesting, too, because they might have to do it on the road. Yeah. Even with that record, they may have to do it on the road.
Right.
Do you agree that all playoffs and all sports should be reseeded? Because I do.
I don't know. I'd have to really think about that before offering an opinion on it. It does seem weird that you could see San Francisco ending up having to go on the road to a division winner that's not as good as they are.
The NFL's the most egregious.
And in the case of the two teams that they could end up playing, they're clearly better than the Packers they are clearly better than the Packers because they beat them down. And they're clearly better than Dallas / Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And you could end up then having to go on the road to one of those places to play.
Yeah, I was saying to Mac yesterday, I have no problem with a division winner getting a playoff spot because you want some importance for those division rivalry games and you don't want to break up all of the divisions.
8-8 shouldn't host a playoff game.
Yeah, just
and get a bye.
Just take that part away from it. Just take the home game away from it. You get to make the playoffs, but you don't necessarily get to host a game if you win your division. And then if the two best teams happen to be in the NFC West, they can meet in the NFC Championship game. I have no problem with that.
I think that I'm moving closer and closer to no conferences in the NBA. I think I'm moving closer to that.
There's
I don't
so
think I'm
much
there yet.
There's so much travel that I think that it makes sense to keep conferences, but to, again, reseed the playoffs. So if the two best teams are in the West, they can meet in the NBA Finals, and then you wouldn't necessarily have guys like running from one conference to another for easier paths to the finals because the playoffs get reseeded, and I think it would help in free agency a bit.
I wonder if what they should do as far as the travel goes, that everyone should have a schedule where, you know what, like you're gonna be out on the West Coast for 2 weeks. Like, that's just it.
Like Zach LaVine would like that.
I mean, who wouldn't? Every organization is just going to be on the West Coast for 2 weeks, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
Oh, Mac, I got some news that is going to bum you out. Senior NFL reporter Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports reports that the Panthers have fired Ron Rivera.
I'm not too surprised by that. I sort of sniffed that out. We'll see if he wants to come on the show in just a little bit.
All right.
Well, then I'll get out of you guys' way and let you do what you do.
Be our NFL expert for the postseason.
Thanks, Lawrence. Have a good day, Lawrence. The postseason for the Bears. Yeah, of course.